About money this week, and I've mentioned P.T. Barnum a couple of times this week, and I happened to think of that while I was studying today. And there's at least two books that he wrote, and that's the famous circus man, P.T. Barnum and Bailey Circus. And he wrote one book, and it's called Humbugs of the World, an account of humbugs, delusions, impositions, quackeries, deceits and deceivers generally in all ages. And you know, them circuses, they had all kinds of sideshows and all kinds. So he, and as he traveled all around with the circus, he run into all different kinds of people, and he wrote a book about it. And then he wrote another book, and it's called The Art of Money Getting or Golden Rules for Making Money. And he lived from 1810 to 1891. I believe this book was published in 1855, but here's one thing he said in the book about money. He said, avoid debt. That was the title of the chapter. He said, young men starting in life should avoid running into debt. There is scarcely anything that drags a person down like debt. He gives several examples. He said, he is adopting a habit which will keep him in poverty through life. Debt robs a man of his self-respect and makes him almost despise himself. Grunting and groaning and working for what he has eaten up or worn out. And I thought that was pretty good. And Benjamin Franklin has a lot of sayings about money. And I've read, I've actually got one of the books he wrote, his little sayings. And he said the same thing about debt. And it sort of makes me think that he had read what Benjamin Franklin had said. And he may have, I don't know. I'm not saying he copied it, but they said pretty much about the same thing about it. But we're going to continue tonight where we left off last night. And last night we were looking at the four R's of money. And the first one was the receiving of money. We looked at that last night, talking about different ways you get money, but mainly income, and mainly that comes from work, labor. Most of our lives are a big part of our lives, we're going to work. And so we talked about receiving of money. And number two, we talked about the rule of money, which we talked about giving, and some rules for giving, and some things to think about in giving money. And then number three, what we're going to look at tonight, the retention of money, and talking about saving or savings. But I want to begin tonight by asking a question. Why do we save money anyway? I was thinking about it like this. Why would you give a child a piggy bank, put some change in it, tell them to save their money? What would be the reason to teach a child to do that? What's the purpose of saving? What do we save for? And so I'll ask that by way of a question to you. What do you think that we save for? Can you give me some things that we save for? A time of need. Way to learn for when you want to learn how to handle money.
Future expenses, education.
Old age.
Rainy day.
Sickness. Right. Anybody else? I had more time to think about it. I'm putting you on the spot, but there's savings just to have, and I was doing some reading about this, and some people save just to have, and they've not designated it for any kind of a purpose. There's savings for retirement. There's savings to buy something special. A lot of people save money to go on a trip, like a dream vacation, or maybe just vacation year to year. A lot of people save to get married. That's one I've heard of. Some people shaking their head. I didn't, but some people do if they plan ahead far enough. People save to buy a home or to make a down payment. People save to have a baby. People save to send their kids to college. That's one you hear a lot about. People save for their burial. So when they pass away, people save for emergencies. People save for Christmas from year to year. So there's a lot of things that people save for. But biblically, we're going to look tonight and see what the Bible has to say. And I want us to turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 14. And we're going to meet Mr. and Mrs. Prudent. And that's another one of them good Bible words. We looked at some Bible words last night. Surety and tribute and usury and penury. And tonight we're going to meet Mr. and Mrs. Prudent. But before we read about some verses about what it means to be prudent, I'm going to give you the definition for it. To be prudent means to be cautious. It means to be circumspect, practically wise, careful of the consequences of enterprises. So that'd be somebody that looked at maybe somebody made them a proposition. Hey, let's go into business and let's do this, or let's make an investment over here. A prudent person would be careful of the consequences. They'd say, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. They'd see the good and the bad. Practically wise. Careful of the consequences, measures, or actions. Cautious not to act when the end is of doubtful utility or probably impractical. So, cautious not to act when the end is doubtful. So if it doesn't look like it would work out, they're going to shy away from that. If it looks like it's impractical or too good to be true, a prudent person would recognize that and would steer away from it. So that's what it means to be prudent, to be cautious. Look before you leap, you know. A prudent person would do that. They would investigate, they would think about, they'd look at the pros and the cons of something. But we're going to read some verses here beginning in chapter number 14, verse number 8, just about the prudent person. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. A prudent person wants to know what they're getting into. He wants to understand his way. He's not going to just jump into something because somebody said it was a good idea if he doesn't understand it. And that is a good rule of thumb. If you don't understand something, understand it before you get involved in it. Now, there's a lot of, and especially when it comes to money, there's all kinds of things that are out there. You know, there's things I don't understand, and so I'm not involved in it. A lot of investments and things, some people might feel, I bought a book one time, Investment or the Stock Market for Dummies, but it's at home on my shelf. So that's about as far as I know about that. But I did buy the book. Look at verse number 15. It said, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The simple believeth every word. The simple is setting up late one night and they can't sleep, worried about how much debt or money or whatever it is, and boy, one of them sleep commercials come on and they just say, boy, you know what? That'd be a good thing to get into. But the prudent man, he does not do that. He does not believe every word. He looks well to his going before he gets involved. Look at verse 18. The simple inherit folly. but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. And it's interesting in Proverbs, the simple is on one side, the prudent is on the other side. And so they're contrasted against each other. Look at chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. The fool doesn't want to hear what anybody has to say, what dad has to say, what grandpa has to say. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. A prudent person, they will learn from their mistakes. They will learn from a reproof, a rebuke. Somebody said, you ought not to do that. Or a prudent person would learn from that. A foolish person, pay no attention to that. You don't know what you're talking about. And they just go on and do what they want to do anyway. Chapter 16, verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. So the prudent has a wise heart. In chapter 18, verse number 15. Chapter 18, verse number 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Knowledge is a wonderful thing. To me, knowledge is worth something. You know, I don't mind to pay to take a class if I'm going to learn something worth something. That's an investment to me. I'm interested in knowledge. You ought to be interested in wisdom and learning. That's a sign of being prudent, and we ought to want to be prudent. Now, chapter 19, verse number 14, the Bible said, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. And so I said we was going to meet Mr. and Mrs. Prudent, and there she is. And so we got the prudent man, we got the prudent wife, but next is the number one reason we ought to save. Chapter 22, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3. And while you're finding that, chapter 27 and verse number 12 is the exact same verse in the Bible. So this same verse is two times in the book of Proverbs. But chapter 22 and verse number 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now there's a lot of ways you could look at that verse. There's a great spiritual application in there. You know, if somebody's lost, they need to be saved. That's the wise thing to do, to find your refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a spiritual application there. But if you just look at the construction of the verse, the language of the verse, it has a financial tie into it. It says a prudent, and I'll point that out, it said a prudent man foreseeth the evil. And that word, the evil there, if you look that up, what that means, it means adversity, affliction, bad, calamity. The prudent man looks at life and he sees that problems are going to come. We are going to have afflictions in this life. We are going to have trouble that's going to come. The world talks about Murphy's Law. If it can happen, if something bad can happen, it will. And I don't know the history behind that being called Murphy's Law. I guess Mr. Murphy had bad luck or something, but they say, well, that's just Murphy's Law. That's just the way it is. You know, you get ready to go on vacation and your car tears up. And these things are going to happen in life. The prudent man foreseeth the evil. Cars are going to tear up. People are going to get sick. we are going to have emergencies. We're not just because we're saved does not mean we're not going to have trouble in life. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have the evil is going to come. Businesses fail. People fail to pay other people that they owe, and that puts anybody that's ever had a business, and you've probably run into that. You know, you went out on a limb for them and maybe ordered something. I've had this happen lots of times down through the years. You on your credit order something. I had that happen one time, and I ordered a big truss package for a guy, and it was like $8,000 or $10,000. It was big money. And ordered it, delivered it, gave the bill. The end of the month came, and this is a friend, somebody I like him. I think a lot of him. He said, "Well, I'm waiting on the bank." You know, oh, the bank's supposed to help both of us out here. But that happens sometimes. Now, the way buildings are built, they got to have inspections ever so far along, make sure they're on schedule, waiting on the bank. 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, that's a lot of money. Things like that happen. And, you know, he didn't have it. I didn't have it. I had to juggle and move around and put me in a real bind. Stuff like that happens. Bad things in life, calamities, afflictions, things are going to happen in life. And so the prudent man foresees the evil, but the Bible says, but the simple pass on. They don't see it. They don't think about it. They pass on and are punished. Now that word punish there, it's an interesting word. It means by implication to inflict a penalty. Specifically, a fine. It is translated one other way in the King James Bible as the word immerse. A-M-E-R-C-E. And the word immerse means to inflict a pecuniary penalty. That means a monetary penalty. To inflict a fine upon somebody. It's used in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 19. It's talking about if a man takes a wife and he takes her home and then he goes before the elders and he basically said, you know, she's not a good woman. I don't want anything to do with her. And it's a protection against that woman and her innocence. But if a man does that, Deuteronomy 22 and verse 19 said about the man that falsely accused the woman, it said, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel. So if that man falsely accuses the woman that he took to be his wife, they laid a penalty upon him, a fine upon him, 100 shekels of silver. You got to pay that to the damsel's father. So that was a penalty inflicted by somebody else. And so that's what that word means. The simple pass on and are punished. They didn't think ahead. They did not plan ahead. The number one reason to save is for emergencies. Now, it took a long time just to say that, but why do we save? Number one, we ought to save because emergencies are going to come. Problems are going to come. Things are going to come up. Your car is going to need tires eventually. That is not an emergency. You can look a long ways ahead and tell if you're going to need tires. But if your transmission blows up all of a sudden or your engine blows up, well, you may not have seen that coming. That's an emergency. Christmas is not an emergency. It comes around every year. And some people spend a lot at Christmas. That's their own business, but it's not an emergency. When we're talking about emergencies, we're talking about the unforeseen things of life that pop up that cost us money. And so emergencies are going to come. Sickness is going to come. The number one reason to save for emergencies is because that is the only way to get free or to remain free from being in debt. And so when you're saving for an emergency, that's what you're doing. You are insuring your own self against having to go in debt. Dave Ramsey's got a lot of good material on finances. And I was reading one of his books, and he said when he first started teaching about finances, the first thing he taught people was how to get out of debt. You know, so have a debt snowball. Pay off the smallest thing and then go to the next biggest thing and the next biggest thing. And next thing you know, 10 years down the road, and depending on how bad you're in debt, you know, eventually you'll get out of debt. But he said what he saw was happening was people would get started and they'd be excited. They'd pay off the Belk's card. That was $75. And then they'd go and they'd pay something else off. But inevitably, what would happen is somebody's transmission would break or somebody's air conditioner would break down. And all of a sudden they'd find that where they were doing good, getting out of debt, now what do they got to do? They don't have any savings. They got to put it on a credit card. They got to borrow money for somebody to fix the car, to fix the air conditioner, whatever the emergency was. And they get real discouraged. And where they were busy getting out of debt, now they're back in debt. So he started teaching people, first thing to do, save some money. And he tries to get people to save. First step, and the book is called a Total Money Makeover, I think is what it's called. And he tries to get people to save $1,000. And that's for your emergency fund. And if something happens and you have to get into it, save it back up and then go back to paying off your debt. That's excellent advice. That insures you. And that doesn't cover everything. But there's things going to come along that's going to cost money. And so you save. Why do you save? Why should we save? We want to be prudent. We want to foresee the evil. Stuff's going to come up. We want to protect ourselves against that. So that's what a savings does. And that is the number one reason, the Bible reason, why we ought to have an emergency savings. And then after you have an emergency saving, whether it's $1,000, most financial people say you ought to have 3 months' pay saved up. And just to have in case something happens. Well, that's something to work towards. But I would tell somebody, save a little bit first. Just set that as a goal. And then once you have met that goal, then you can start to pay off debt. Then you can start to save for other things. But everybody ought to have an emergency savings. I remember first time Kim and I ever used a credit card, and Noah was little. It's been probably close to 20 years ago, but we had started banking, I think, at BB&T, and when we went in and opened up the account, they offered a credit card. Well, we were against credit card. We've been all our married lives, very cautious about it, but they offered a credit card. So we said, well, we'll get one. We'll never use it. But we got on vacation, and Noah was just little, and we were down at Dollywood, and we run out of money. And boy, we fretted about that. You know, we was already down there. We said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we went to, found a bank down there, and I went in and got, I'll never forget, I got $300 on that credit card. And it ruined our vacation. We'd have been better off to eat peanut butter and jelly and come on back to the house. But we stayed, and, you know, we used it. But it taught us a lesson because it worried us to death. You know, how are we going to pay this back? How are we going to pay this back? Well, it was just $300. But, you know, there's times in your life where that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So it taught us a lesson. We, Lord willing, we always say this, You know, we're supposed to go on vacation next week. But what we've done for years now, we don't put our vacations on a credit card. We save our money. The room's already paid for. The place we're staying's already paid for. We've got our money set aside. We'll go. We'll enjoy ourselves. Not anything extravagant, but we'll just go. We'll have a good time. We'll come back, and it's paid for. And that is really a blessing. You can't enjoy life going through on credit. You know, I'm going to go do this, but how am I going to pay for it later on? That's a miserable way to live. And so it's good to think ahead, to plan ahead, to save ahead. And then we can come home debt-free and guilt-free. And that's a good way to operate. So there's saving money. Why do we save money? We save money because emergencies are going to come up. And then we save that so we can save for other things that we might want. Now, I was thinking about this. There's other ways to save money. We think about, when you talk about saving money, you say, well, I'm putting money in a piggy bank, or I'm putting money in the bank, in a savings account. But there's other ways that we can operate in our lives to save money. And I want to give you some of those ways to save money. Number one, and I know my dad's going to look at me when I say this, but here's a good way to save money: preventive maintenance. Don't you want to say anything? He's grinning. Because he's always on me. Have you sharpened your lawnmower blades? Have you done this? Have you done that? But just looking around the house and being aware of what you have and taking care of what we have is a way to save money. And I remember when Kim and I were first married, we were in England, we had a car, and I had a Buick, and I had a tire that kept getting low, but I didn't fix it. I'd see it getting low, and I'd put some air in it, and then I'd forget about it. And one of my friends who was older than me and mechanical, he had told me, he said, you need to get that fixed. You need to get that fixed. Well, I messed around. I never got it fixed. And we went over to their house to eat one night and pulled up in the driveway, and we was standing out there and talking, and he said, your tire's about to go flat. You could see the belt. It had worn through to the metal on the inside. And I said, oh, no, you know, what am I going to do? And that taught me a lesson. That putting that off ended up costing me about $70. And when your income is $700 a month, that's a big chunk. If I'd have just took care of that, it wouldn't have cost me that much. And so preventive maintenance is a way to save money. It is far cheaper. Nobody likes to paint. But it is far cheaper to paint around your windows than it is to let them rot out and have to replace the windowsill. So there's all kinds of ways like that that we can look around and think ahead and do some upkeep. That's a practical way to save money. And we find in Proverbs 27 and verse number 23 some instruction along these lines, or some principles about taking care of what we've got. And like my grandparents' generation, my dad's generation, take care of what you got. Take care of what you got. And if I don't, it's not because I don't know better, because I've heard that all my life. Take care of your things. My grandpa Cornette, he was a preacher, and one of his sayings was, if you take care of your car, it'll take care of you. And he believed in upkeeping his vehicle. But Proverbs chapter 27, in verse number 23, said, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Now, they didn't have Toyotas and Subarus. They had goats and camels and cattle. But the Bible said, be diligent. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. You better pay attention to your
what you have and what's going on in their midst. And then look at verse 24. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. You better take care of what you got. That is what the Bible is saying there. Riches are not forever. You're not always going to have money in your pocket. Our whole nation could be turned upside down by the morning, financially speaking. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goats' milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens. God said your needs will be supplied, but it starts out. Better look after your flocks. Better pay attention to your herds. Better pay attention to the things that we have. So that is a way to save money. Proverbs chapter 18. Another way to save money. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. You know how to save money? Don't be wasteful. Now, the generation that grew up during the Great Depression, they didn't waste anything. My grandparents, some of you, your parents or grandparents, they saved everything. They kept everything. They had a use for everything. One use and then a second. The original recyclers is not the people trying to save the earth. It was the generation that came out of the Great Depression. They recycled everything. They used everything. And it was sinful to waste to them. It ought to be sinful to waste to us. Look how much food is thrown away. If you really want to learn how to save, you'll learn to like leftovers. Some people, they say, oh, I don't like leftovers. I like leftovers. Spaghetti, I was talking to Brother Robert, I said, there's enough of that. We could have that again tomorrow night, and it'd be better tomorrow night. Be better tomorrow night than it was tonight, because spaghetti's like that. And lasagna and pinto beans and these some things. Just don't be wasteful. Look at Americans. Americans are wasteful. Go to a restaurant, see what's thrown away. Dad used to tell my brother and I, he'd say, boys, I don't care what you order, but you better eat it. So that taught us, if you order it, you're going to have to eat it. Don't be wasteful. Kim's mom, a lot of you know Lana. She's the first person. Now, Kim grew up, they grew up hard. A lot harder than I grew up. Lana's a single mom, and they had a hard time growing up making ends meet. Kim's mom is the first person I ever seen rip a Bounty paper towel in half. I went up there to eat with them. And, we were sitting around, and for some reason there wasn't any napkins, or maybe that's what she had, but she got a Bounty paper towel and ripped that thing in half. I had never seen that done before. I thought, my goodness, she ripped that. Is things that bad? I remember thinking that. But you know, now that's the way you buy them. I bet a young person wouldn't even know that. They come in half. They used to be twice the size. But now, she wasn't wasteful. Nobody needs a whole big paper towel to eat spaghetti or whatever. But I'd never seen that. My Grandpa Greer, he saved nails. He had a whole bucket full of nails. And he'd straighten those nails out. And you can reuse a nail. And so there are things, if we would just learn not to be wasteful, we would learn that we're actually saving money. Learn to grow something. This kills me. People say, if society went bad, I'd grow a garden.
they don't know nothing about growing a garden if you think you're just going to go out. You better accumulate some knowledge and know how to do some things before. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. There's a lot of people who don't even know how to grow a garden. But you can grow things. You could grow tomatoes on a patio if you didn't. You can grow them in a 5-gallon bucket. You know, there's things that you can do. Look how much a pound of tomatoes cost. $2.50 a pound. That's not one. But if you grew them, then you could have them for almost nothing. And I like greens. And in the wintertime, if I buy greens, a container of spinach or kale or something like that is $4. That's the first thing that comes on in the garden. And I told Kim about 2 weeks ago, I said, don't buy any more of that. I said, I'm going to have my own. And now, till frost, I'll have spinach and kale and chard and lettuce and whatever I want. But learn to save money. Don't be wasteful. And there's a verse in the Bible, Proverbs 13, verse number 23. I come across this a few years ago. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 23. Much food is in the tillage of the poor. You know what that means, that tillage? That means the plowed ground. If somebody knew how to take a hoe and turn over some dirt, there's food there. You can get a little plot and grow all kinds of things. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. Don't know what to do with it. If you give a lot of people a bushel of beans, they wouldn't know what to do with it. Dad and I was harvesting potatoes a few years ago. And we was talking about, he wants to pick up every little, and I said, just get this size, and he wants to pick up all of them. And he said, the Bible said to leave the corners and let the poor. I said, the poor wouldn't come get them if you put a sign beside the road. Wouldn't walk out there for it. There's a lot of food that is wasted and destroyed for lack of judgment. Wouldn't know what to do with it. So knowledge is a wonderful thing. Learn how to grow some things, freeze some things, can some things. These are ways to save money. I thought of just a few more. We've got he's going to ring the bell at 15 after. Ways to save money, other than just put money in the bank or in a piggy bank. Here's something. Make every trip count. Gary and I were talking the other night about being younger and running the roads. And he was talking about every time you get in that car and go down the road, you're spending money. And a lot of times we get hooked on convenience. Say, well, I'll just run to the store. I'll run to the store and get a gallon of milk. I'll run to the store and get a loaf of bread. Well, that loaf of bread, whatever it cost, if you had to run and make a special trip, it costs double what you paid for it. Make every trip count. You hear people talk about running the roads and keeping the roads hot. That costs money. And so make every trip count. When you go somewhere, Kim and I are pretty good about this. I say, I got to go to town. Do you need anything? Yes, I need this and this. And I'll just make my circle and get back to the house. Buy what you need while you're in town. Another way to save money. You ever been out maybe Friday night and you go out to eat as a family? You get done eating, what do you want to do? Let's go to the mall and just walk around. That's asking for it. Because you know they've always got these good sales. And I mean, you just can't pass up buying that shirt. I know you got 10 shirts just like it, but my goodness, it's half price. And if you use your card, you get it. You know, there's always something like that. If you don't need to be in the mall, if you need to go somewhere on Friday night after eating, go out the Greenway and walk for free. and enjoy the scenery and go back to the house. But we've done that before. We have done that. What do you want to do? Let's go to the mall. Go to the mall and come out of there. We spent $50. We didn't even plan on that. We didn't save any money. We wasted money. Stay out of Walmart. Used to, every time we go to Walmart, I'd say, I'm going to the guns. She know where to find me. I'm going to the sports. I'll be over there. And I don't know how many times I come out of there. I bought something. I didn't need that. I didn't need that. I got all I'll need, I hope. As far as from the gun section, you know. But I'd always like to have another one. But the way to get out of that is just don't even go in there and start looking. Just stay out of it. Stay out of Walmart. Stay out of stores you don't need to be in. Number five, do not pay for things that are free. A lot of people are out here spending a lot of money paying for things that are already free. I remember the first time I seen a display of water, bottled water, and laughing about it. And I thought, nobody will buy that. Who would buy water? There's a water fountain. But today, how much millions and millions of dollars of people buying water? I carry a bottle of water about everywhere I go, and it's free. And somebody came to me one time, and they said, I want to tell you about something. This is going to help people, and you're a pastor. And so they'd got into this debt consolidation. They're going to take all your debts, put them in, pay them off. You're going to pay one monthly. And they give me the big spiel of how great this was and everything. And I said, well, why don't people just do that on their own? You pay off your debt instead of me paying you to pay off my debt. I can do that for free by myself. And there's a lot of things out here. So don't pay for things that are already free. All right. They're wanting to get in here. We'll finish up tomorrow night. Appreciate your good attention.